Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, organisers, excellencies, distinguished colleagues. It's an honour to be speaking before this forum. And I speak to you as a current member in respect of the United Kingdom to the Advisory Committee to the Council of Europe Framework Convention, which is Europe's most comprehensive treaty protecting the rights of persons belonging to national minorities, the Framework Convention being in force in 38 states. The independent experts within its advisory committee, of which I am one, monitor these states' implementation of the Framework Convention and make recommendations based on 5-yearly reporting by the government concerned, but primarily on meetings with minority representatives, human rights bodies, and other civil society organisations. The Framework Convention is conceived as a living, evolving instrument, enabling the accommodation of pluralism in a way that balances broader societal concerns with individual rights. Reflecting the UN Declaration of 1992, it promotes 3 overarching dimensions of managing diversity through minority rights. This means that parties to the convention must take measures to ensure that persons belonging to minorities can first express difference and have that difference recognised. Second, gain equal access to resources and rights despite difference. And third, engage in social interaction across difference on the basis of mutual respect and understanding. And these 3 dimensions of the convention are firmly embedded across its specific articles dealing with education. Thus, under the convention's Article 14, parties undertake to recognise the right of every person belonging to a national minority to learn his or her minority language. Equally important for the theme of this forum is Article 12 of the Convention. This commits parties to promote equal opportunities for access to education for persons belonging to national minorities, but also to take measures in education and research that foster knowledge of the culture, history, language and religion, both of national minorities and of the majority. And this specific Article 12 on education is closely linked to Article 6 of the Framework Convention on encouraging a spirit of tolerance and intercultural dialogue and on taking effective measures to promote mutual respect, understanding and cooperation among all persons living on a state's territory, particularly in the areas of education, culture and the media. And the theme of this forum also highlights another fundamental principle of the Framework Convention, which is effective participation by minority representatives. In the sphere of education, this means that such representatives must be actively involved in the design, application and evaluation of measures to ensure the effective implementation of Articles 12 and 14, which I've just discussed. And at today's forum, I want to especially mention the Advisory Committee's revised thematic commentary number 1 on education under the Framework Convention. Some copies are available here at the forum. The convention was adopted in May 2024 to replace a previous version that dated from 2006. It's currently available in print or online in English and French. It will shortly become available in German and will be translated into other languages in due course. And in its normative and policy framework, thematic commentary number 1 stresses that the right to education should be understood as the right to high quality and inclusive education based on promotion of democracy, respect for human rights and social justice, plurilingualism and interculturality. And in setting out the Advisory Committee's thinking on education as it's evolved now across 6 monitoring cycles over 25 years, this thematic commentary provides decision makers and all education stakeholders with a wealth of recommendations on how to design educational systems that guarantee access to rights. You may ask, why did the Advisory Committee decide to update a thematic commentary on education? While the decision reflected some important societal changes it has observed over the past 25 years, not least increased cultural and linguistic diversity arising from migration and mobility, both across and within state borders, has brought new expectations and requirements in the sphere of education. Too often, however, the diversity of today's societies is still not adequately represented within curricula and within educational materials. We often see this, for instance, in history teaching, which continues to impart the perspective of the dominant majority and correspondingly downplays the existence of minorities and their contribution to society as a whole. And when persons belonging to minorities face obstacles to self-representation within education, this perpetuates their marginalization and can reinforce pre-existing biases, negative stereotypes and prejudices within wider society, with highly detrimental consequences for everyone concerned. This risk is even more apparent in a contemporary context that is marked by rising xenophobia, nationalism, and a deterioration in the international security environment, all of which have negatively impacted the enjoyment of minority rights. And in this context, and this would be my recommendation, state authorities need to do more than just ensure that persons belonging to minorities can exercise the right to learn their language and their history and culture, vital though this is. Authorities must also ensure that teaching about the presence of minorities and their associated languages, histories and cultures forms part of mainstream education for everyone living in the state territory. And I would say, finally, that an approach that encourages universal respect, understanding and tolerance for minority languages, histories and cultures is the key